In the name of God who speaks, the God who creates and who is present to that which is created, who is present and alive this very moment and among us. Amen. You who have ears, listen. That's it, actually. Not even kidding, that's it. I'm a very, very lucky person for lots and lots of reasons. One of them is that I have the privilege of taking people to Timor. And what an extraordinary privilege that actually is, to travel with young people to a world that is very, very foreign to our own, and to be amongst a people who are the third hungriest in the world, and who are so quick to be generous and share everything. The very first day that we left on Friday, the 16th of June, and it was a long, long day leaving at 2 o'clock from Canberra. We arrived in Darwin at 12:30 that next morning and had a lovely sleep on the floor of the airport, for the plane was leaving at 6 o'clock the next morning and you got to kind of queue at 4. What's the point? Anyway, we're not the only ones. If you've ever been to Darwin Airport, lots and lots of people do the same thing. Arrived in Dili and picked up two troop carriers and very quickly then headed west along the coast road. If you know anything about Timor, it is an extraordinary place. Geographically, geologically, it's up and down. I've never seen water in a river ever in Timor. It's a very dry place. There is a wet season, but there is also a hungry season. And we're coming into the hungry season, or they're coming into the hungry season now. For the very first time, we went up into the hills and stayed in the hills. We took with us a barista and a coffee importer. We're a school, we're not an NGO, so we don't pretend to actually be particularly useful. It's teachers who can teach, it's professionals who can do things, but 16, 17, 18-year-old young people are very, very good at making friends. They're not very good at building buildings and being nurses and doctors, because they aren't that yet, but one day they will be. We were welcomed and stayed in a place, and the place is actually a fourth generation coffee plantation, so it's wild coffee. And one of our tasks there was to see whether it's possible to broker a relationship between that coffee plantation and a person who's sincere about the possibility of importing coffee back to Australia. And the answer is yes, actually. So it's actually genuinely exciting to possibly be a part of the beginning of a relationship. Are you aware that the coffee that you drink, the person who picked the coffee probably got no more than 15 cents a kilogram? That's what the pickers at this particular place have been paid, 15 cents a kilogram. 25 of us went out picking red coffee cherries. We picked for about 45 minutes and came back with 5 kilograms. So you do the maths on that. A single person picking coffee, 15 cents. The coffee barista and importer said to me, and I learnt so many things, that really for us to pay $3.50 in Australia for a cup of coffee is way too cheap for what it's actually worth. The person who took us back there is a guy called Amindo. The last time he was on that plantation with his father was 42 years ago. In that land, there are great scars of violence and conflict. He fled his own home 42 years ago, never saw his home nor his father ever again. And for him to return with us, it was an extraordinarily powerful thing for him, for the very first time, not to visit but to stay over in his house. I was asked by the people to bless the land. They learnt I was a priest, and I was asked to do a blessing. And the blessing was about putting to rest uneasy spirits and opening up the possibility that there could be a renewed fruitfulness in the land and among the people. I was extraordinarily humbled to have been asked. It's not a good thing to do as a visiting priest. your role is to gather the people, but I don't know the people. I don't know the language. I don't know the land. How can I do this? So I asked, actually, could it be put into the context of a Mass, a Holy Communion? And so a friend translated. I asked Amindo, name the land. Name this land. It's your land. You name the land. And in that context, told the story of Genesis 1. For if there's to be any blessing, it comes from the original blessing. The land is already blessed. It's good. This is God's creation. And God is here. And so when, with the sprinkling of the water, there was an extraordinary sense of moment. The God who is faithful is remembering among the people a blessing that has always been given. And whatever humble words I might have had to say that day, they were these. Receive this blessing and pass it on. Hold on to it and you'll lose it. But let it go and pass it on and you'll never run out of it. It was an incredible privilege to be in that place. Across the time, students ask so many questions, and it's a privilege to be among them as they ask those questions. One of them was this. Richard, there I'm mostly called Ricardo, strangely. Ricardo, do you believe that stuff that you talk about? Do you believe it? As I get a little bit older, you have to choose well how you answer questions because they're so perfect when they come. May I answer this question really well and not be boring? My answer was absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, I return to this more and more to make sense of the world in which I live. Let me give you one example. Where do you turn to unpack and discover the roots of human dignity? Here we are in a strange land. You don't know the language or the people. Where lie the roots of human dignity? I return to this original story. For in the heart of God who creates is the image and likeness of human beings. That's the roots of our dignity. It is an extraordinary, revolutionary idea that we still to this day have not grown fully into. So, to the gospel reading for today, that revolution we still grow into, and it's in the heart of God's all-encompassing love, the roots of human dignity, every single human being, the image and likeness of God. A parable. I don't know when you've begun to hear the reading, a sower went out into the field. How many times have you heard that? It is a grave mistake for us, even young ones, to sit here and think, I know what this means. Parables are an extraordinary tool that Jesus, it seems, invented, that are not purposed to illustrate something or to affirm in us something that we all know too well. It's actually the opposite, to unsettle and to draw attention to unsatisfactory, previously well thought out explanations and understandings. And so part of the work of a parable is to create this open space into which God's Spirit meets you today with this wondering, what does this mean? What is this sower and seed? What is going on? So in you, in this moment, is this wondering space into which the Spirit of God is present this day, whatever the date is, in July 16th, isn't it? Parables then do some extraordinary work and help us see through our own blindness, created by our own well-worn paths of seemingly comfortable understandings. You see, the kingdom of God is full of mystery. Absolutely full of mystery. And these parables hand over to you something concrete and real that is wonderfully mysterious. Take a seed. When this story was told first, the seed was understood to contain everything necessary for whatever it was to come from it. How mysterious is that? That in this tiny and often minuscule thing, especially if you're planting mustard shrubs, almost invisible out of nothing comes this thing. And to be planted into something dark and mysterious, once you put it in, it literally disappears, doesn't it? It's gone and you can't even see it. It's hidden. And then something appears later on down the track. And this soil, whatever rich soil might be, you are aware that rich soil, its origins are in things that have recently died. Its richness, its liveliness comes from that which is dead. And the sower, absolutely profligate, just throws it everywhere with reckless abandon. What is going on there? And to be reminded then, ladies and gentlemen, something that we seemingly, especially in this current day and age, is this, is the Catholic nature of creation and reality itself. This is not a story about religious things for religious people. It's a story about reality for all of people. God is in the whole of creation, not just a part of it. Everything is awash with the life, the goodness, the light, the word of God. It is everywhere. And you know what? We don't have to do anything. We don't actually have to do anything. In fact, get out of the way actually is partly what this story is all about. Just listen. That's it. And let the word of God be the word of God. It's mysterious, it's wonderful, it's universally Catholic, as in it's for all. So, receive that gift. An easy way to summarize it might be this. The Word of God will work wherever the Word of God is, no matter. We can choose to be Peter or Judas. It actually doesn't matter. God's Word will still work. But we actually are able to choose how it is that we might participate in it. Whether we're Peter or Judas, the Word of God will go about and be the Word of God. So I'm not going to explain the parable. That would be a dumb thing to pretend to do. I'll leave it with you to sit and for you to ruminate on this extraordinary thing. And you are aware, we've missed the most beautiful, wonderful, the reference to Isaiah in between, you cut it out, and that was a bit naughty of you. You were following the lectionary. You are aware that when the parable is told, the bit that was cut out is really, really helpful. And the explanation is not an explanation. It actually makes it more mysterious and more wonderful. Because it implies the sower is God, the Father. The seed is God, the Son. It makes it more obtuse and more mysterious and more wonderful. But listen, listen to this. The reason I speak to them in parables is that seeing they do not perceive, and hearing they do not understand, nor do they understand. With them indeed is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, you indeed listen but never understand, you'll indeed look but not perceive. This people's heart has grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing. Blessed are you. Can you see that even though we try and grasping at this is not going to help us? There was once a sower who went out and sowed a seed. I offer to you a little parable that may or may not help. It might help unpack a little bit of Paul's theology of sin and redemption that we're walking through at the moment in these amazing passages of Romans 7 and 8. I find the work of René Girard really helpful to understand the nature of the power of the Word of God. And so I offer this humble little stick with these words. It would seem to be that human beings are a yoked people, and we're unaware of it. That is to say, the nature and character of being a human being is that we carry with us a yoke that can't be removed, and that we are bound then to another through whom we receive ourselves. And if we're not aware of it, we will be bound to this and be caught in an unrelenting spiral of rivalry and violence. Hear it in the roots of Esau and Jacob. And the work of the Word of God is to come among us, not to take this yoke off us, but to actually transform it and to change it. You see, we receive ourselves from others. We are not our own creation. And the death and resurrection of Jesus, which changes everything, is an invitation then for us to receive ourselves from perfect love. And in receipt of this, being yoked to this gift of perfect love, we are then able to move into the world as a gift to the world itself. I end then with where last week's reading finished. Jesus said, "You who are weary, you who are living in this life, come to me and receive a gift. It's my yoke. You can't take a yoke off. It's always yours. Be yoked to me. I'm gentle, humble in heart. Learn from me. Listen if you have ears to hear. We've received the most extraordinary gift. It is the gift of perfect love. In this receipt, may we learn and be bound, yoked, with every breath and every step. And the fruitfulness that comes from this, it's actually quite simple. That we would love others the way God loves us. Not just those who are like us, those who affirm us, who we're drawn to, but every kind of fabulously, wonderfully, wildly diverse human being. Come to Jesus and receive the yoke that will make us wholly alive. Learn from Jesus and be that gift into this world, and we'll discover in each other a love that we've received. We become the ones who love others just like God has loved us.